Okay, we're in Proverbs tonight, in case you hadn't caught that memo yet. So Proverbs, and we're looking at the issue of foolproofing your life. The book of Proverbs is largely about wisdom. And as we think about wisdom, the opposite of wisdom is foolishness. And so in a real sense, as we talk about how to be wise, understanding what it looks like to be a fool, as a biblical understanding of it here, is helpful in our understanding there. Proverbs has a lot to say about foolishness. Remember, Proverbs itself doesn't say a lot about kings, and it doesn't say a lot about lands, it doesn't say a lot about prophecies. It talks about living in a practical way in this world and living for the Lord. It has timeless proverbs that are not promises. They don't always come true exactly like we'd hope they would. For example, 15:1 says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but it doesn't always turn away wrath. A gentle answer sometimes turns away wrath, maybe often, but there are times when people resist that. So these are not promises, but they are general teachings, general proverbs that are helpful to us. They're also not just pithy proverbs like you hear Aesop Proverbs or something like that, or their fables. Things like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's not in Proverbs. The early bird catches the worm is a good proverb, but not so good for the worm. If you think about it for a moment, good proverb for the bird. Those are not in Proverbs. These are not the kind of proverbs we have. We have teachings concerning life, how to live for God. And as we look at these, one of the things we want to look at then is concerning foolishness. The Proverbs teaches us how we are to be wise, and part of that is that to show us the opposite of wisdom, which is foolishness. So Proverbs has a lot to say on that subject. We want to cover that tonight. I want to look at this issue of foolishness with three details. We'll kind of break it down in that way. And maybe that will help us understand it. First of all, how do you identify a fool? And we'll look at the definition. So as we think of a fool, it might be different than what we think a fool is. So let's look at the definition. And by doing that, we're going to look at three Hebrew words that are translated fool or foolishness in the book of Proverbs. This will help us quite a little bit. The first word is kisel, which means dull or closed-minded. It's found 49 times in the book of Proverbs. And 15:14 is a good example. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. So we have this dullness, it's refusing to learn, refusing to grow, refusing to adjust to that which is wise living. That's a fool in the book of Proverbs. Probably, it refers to a way of life that is enticing to the immature, but that can lead to ruin and destruction. So one of the most, if not the most well-known proverb in the whole book is 14:12, which is actually repeated another time in the book. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is a way of death. That's a well-known proverb and very, very wise proverb. There's a way that seems right to us that ends up in death or destruction. So that's the kind of proverb we're looking at here. Foolish people look at life, they look at situations, they look at choices, and they make choices that are seemingly okay, seemingly profitable, but they are destructive. And that's what a fool is in Proverbs terminology. Another word that helps us is the word Nabal, which means a boor or someone who's mean in their disposition. They're insensible or callous to God. They're closed off to reason. You remember Abigail's husband in the Old Testament was named Nabal. And when he died, David married her as one of his wives. She was a very wise, sensible woman. Her husband was named Nabal. Now, I don't know. I honestly don't know What parent names their kid Fool? You know, it's a little early to tell when you look at them, you know, and say that. So there is a possibility here. This was a nickname. You know, it's what people called him behind his back. I don't know that for sure. Maybe they actually named him that. But that, what a handle to carry the rest of your life if that's the case. Because people in that time knew what the words, what names meant. Today, we have names that people, we give our kids because they're catchy or popular. And they have meanings that you really wouldn't want them to even know. But we don't know those names. We don't know those meanings. They did that in those days. So Nabal was only found three times in the book of Proverbs. But here's one example. Excellent speech is not fitting for a fool, a boor, a person who is mean in disposition, much less are lying lips to a prince. Another one, and we're in the middle of a sentence here. Under a slave when he becomes king, and a fool when he's satisfied with food. Now, this is the middle of a thought, so I only want to look at the last half. This fool, this Nabal, is satisfied with food. That's as far as his mind goes. If he has a good meal, if his tummy's full, he's happy. He's not any more in depth than that. That's the depth of his personality. And Proverbs calls such a person a fool. There's a third Hebrew word, and that's Ewel. It means one lacking in sense and is generally corrupt. So the biblical fool then is not simply somebody who's stupid. It's not somebody who lacks IQ, but one who has a closed mind to truth and especially to God, and are or soon will suffer the consequences. That's our picture of a fool in Scripture. So keep that in mind, because when you think today of a fool, usually we think of somebody who just isn't very sharp. But this might be not the case. This might be a very intelligent, very educated person. They got a lot of answers. They know a lot of trivia. They got good grades in school. But they're foolish because their minds are closed to the things of God and to God himself. And in Proverbs, often the foolish person will suffer the consequences of their choices sooner than later. Now, sometimes they'll get by most of their life without suffering. But in Proverbs, this book that talks about the practical application of life, most of the time foolishness catches up with them. So they might seem to get by for a time, but that doesn't last forever. So those three words help us a little bit in understanding who a fool is. Let's talk now, by the way, this word Ewel is found 19 times in the book. Let's talk about the characteristics. So what are the actual characteristics of a foolish person? Number one, they refuse to learn. They refuse to wise up. They refuse to change, even when it becomes obviously that they should. 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So the foolish person is characterized by a refusal to learn even from wise people and even from Scripture. So here's what God says. Here's what a person who has navigated life well says. And as we saw earlier in chapter 1, here's what mom and dad says, but the foolish person doesn't want to hear that. They're not willing to listen to that because they're right in their own eyes. You can't tell them anything because they've already convinced themselves that they're right. This idea is described the fool as one who just will not learn from his mistakes. 26:11. Now, here's one that's kind of squeamish. If you're at home watching live stream and you're eating supper, this may not be for you. But I think it's very descriptive. And if you've ever owned a dog, you know what we're talking about here. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats its folly. Now, that is a very earthy example, isn't it? If you've had a dog, you've had this dog go outside and eat some garbage. Maybe they ate a mouse or whatever. And they come back in, the next thing you know, they're making this weird sound. And you don't know what's going on. You dog people know what I'm talking about. Or if you cat people, your cat's getting ready to barf up a hairball, and they're making these sounds. And the next thing you know, they have thrown up on your brand new carpet. Right? That's awful. That's gross. And then the dog turns around and starts licking it up. If you know I have a dog, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So if you're, like I said, if you're at home eating a pizza, sorry, you should have been here with us tonight and enjoyed the fellowship here tonight. Who cares about the tornadoes? You could have been here, right? But at any rate, it's so descriptive, because what person who has had a dog that's done this has not said, "What is wrong with you?" You know how we think about our dogs and cats are kind of little people. They're our babies. They're so precious. We're going to let them lick us in the face. Think about this next time you let that dog lick you in the mouth. They just puked up a hairball, or they puked up a mouse, or whatever they ate outside, and they licked it back up, and you're going to let that cat or dog lick you in the face? Well, that's gross. I'm trying to gross you out, aren't I? Am I doing a good job? It seems like I'm doing a good job. As awful as that is, that's what a fool does when they return to their folly. They've just done this stupid thing that has done damage to their life, and they go right back to it. Why would you do that? Why would a dog lick up their vomit? Why would a fool go back to their folly? But that is the description that we're given here for this individual. One of the proverbs that is not in the Proverbs, but an earthly human proverb that fits, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is a definition of what? Insanity. You know that one, don't you? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. I find myself insane when I type. I'm typing along and I'm hitting a key that does the wrong thing. And I think I'm supposed to be going, taking me backwards or something, and I'm hitting some key that does nothing, and I hit it 6 times before I realize nothing's changed. That's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Well, that's what a fool does. That's the definition of a fool, a description. Here's another characteristic. They're complacent, 14:9. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. A fool makes fun of sin. So you know you're in the presence of a fool when they're joking about their sinfulness, their sinful behavior. You know right away you're there. I had a relative one time who was living with someone who was not their wife. They hadn't got married yet, but they were living together. And this individual had grown up in a Christian environment. And so he said to me, "I'm living in sin, ha, ha, ha." Well, he knew he was living in sin, quite frankly. I think he felt guilty about it. He knew what I thought about it, but it was a joke to him. You're in the presence of a fool when they laugh at their sin. When a person can use awful language and laugh at it, or let other people do it and laugh at it, we know we're in the presence of a fool. When we know people are thinking it's funny to do sinful things, it's foolish. That's a characteristic of a fool. Here's another one. They cause strife. A fool causes strife. 23 says this: keeping away from strife is an honor for a man. But any fool can quarrel. So you don't have to be sharp to start an argument. Any fool can quarrel. And they often do. In 15:18, it says this: a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. So if you're an angry person, you know how to start a fight. You know, if you're at home, you got some siblings and you know how to get the fight going, even with your spouse, right? When I'm doing premarital counseling or marital counseling, I sometimes talk to the person about gunpowder words. Gunpowder words are those words that you say that you know will cause an explosion. If you said that to your wife or your husband, you know what's going to happen, right? Well, the hot-tempered man doesn't care. They're a fool. They don't mind starting a fight. In 1417, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. And so they cause strife. If you're around somebody who likes to start fights, and arguments and disputes, they're not clever. They think they are, by the way, but they're foolish. And so we move on to the next one. They enjoy their foolishness. A fool does. 10:23, doing wickedness is like a sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. The foolish person finds it funny to do foolish things, to do wicked things. They think it's a joke. They enjoy doing that. So we put some of these together, and in 14:21 says, too, he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. So we see the difference here. A wise person does what? They learn how to get along. They're not looking for a fight. They're not trying to cause strife and trouble. A fool does the opposite. Now, quite frankly, if you're paying any attention right now to what's going on in our world, if you're listening to the media, if you're watching some of the politicians, if you're going on social media, you're finding a lot of fools are in our world. They're looking for a fight. They're having a good time starting strife. That's what they're out to do. That's what they want to do. Listen to the headlines of much of our media. The headlines are designed to cause people to get angry. If you read more of the article, you sometimes find it's not as bad as it looked, but they're designed to cause trouble and fight. Folks, we're dealing with a lot of fools today, and it's very good for us to recognize that and not get taken in by the foolishness. We'll see how to deal with foolishness in a moment, so it's important to identify it. Because, you know, fools come to ruin. Chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, 8 and 10 says this, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. So if you want to ruin yourself, just babble on foolishly. Talk foolishly. Let that be your conversation. Say foolish and silly and stupid things, and you will probably eventually come to ruin. As I think about this foolishness, I had a list here of things that I just want to throw out there. This is just a random list of things that I've seen in life, and you have too, of people that have done foolish things that led to ruin. The young man or woman who just had to marry that person who was not a Christian. They just had to marry them. They loved them so much. And that person has now ruined their life. Years later, they see that. The thrill of viewing pornography has become almost an unbreakable chain around their neck. And they're corrupted by that. The contentious spirit at work, where you can't get along with anybody, and you're always starting to fuss, might cost you your job or a promotion. An extreme perfectionism that seems to be the right thing might cost you friends who can't stand to be around you. An obsession with certain hobbies or sports or whatever that becomes a total obsession can alienate you from people that you love. The drive to be wealthy at all costs, accumulating stuff and the latest of everything that on the horizon can ruin your finances and cause you to become a greedy person, which Christ, which the New Testament says is idolatry. We could go on that kind of thing, but we're looking at then the foolish person that ruins themselves by not living and thinking biblically. A sixth characteristic, and this is an all-encompassing one, they do not fear the Lord. 1:29 says, because they hated knowledge It did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a big deal in Proverbs. It's the awe of God. It's obedience to God. It's the worship of God. It's the honor of God. And those who fear the Lord in that way have learned to want to serve Him and please Him. Those who don't honor the Lord in that way, don't fear the Lord, go on their merry way and suffer the consequences of that. When the foolish person lives, but then when the foolish living ruins their lives, when that person goes on living foolishly, to it ruins their life, what do? They rage against the Lord. 19:3, the foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. He blames God. How many people have ruined themselves by foolish choices that they could have turned from long ago and it didn't, and now they want to blame God? What kind of God is it would let me go through this? I just can't believe in a God that would allow that to happen in my life. We are all by nature world-class blame shifters. Somebody else has to be the cause of our problems. And God is the ultimate person to blame. The buck ultimately stops with God. And a fool does that with abandon. Okay, let's move on now to talk about how we can relate to fools. We're going to look right now at the fools in our lives. Now, we're going to look in a moment at our own foolishness. But as we're going through these characteristics, you might identify some fools in your life, and you might identify yourself as the fool. But wherever the shoe fits here, let's talk about relating to fools in your life. How should you, if you know of people in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, wherever, that fit the characteristics of foolishness, what would the scriptures have you do as far as dealing with them? Okay, well, first of all, let's pick something out of the New Testament, at least a term out of the New Testament. Speak the truth in love. Let's deal with people in truthfulness. Let's deal with them as we should, but let's not at the same time do it hatefully. Let's do it out of love. Proverbs 26:4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will also be like him. It's very tempting when a fool is really getting on your case to become like them. And you see this on social media. You see this sometimes in the workplace or whatever, where a person acts foolishly and speaks foolishly, and we get down on their level. And we fuss with them and we deal with them because just like they are behaving. I often talk to parents about this very thing. Sometimes our kids can drive us nuts. Some of you might know that. And they can say things, they can do things that just aggravate us. And they're acting foolishly. Matter of fact, Proverbs says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Children are born foolish, according to this definition. And one of the tasks of parents is to drive that out of them, lead them out of that foolishness. It's one of the biggest tasks we've got as parents. But what happens when a parent forgets to be a parent and acts like the child and gets down on their level and begins to argue with their child like the child is acting, speak like the child, get angry like the child and all that? Well, it doesn't help the cause at all. Because even if you're speaking the truth, you're not doing it in love, and the combination is needed to change people. Speaking the truth in love, what an important thing. Let me give you some more verses here. A genuine fool will despise wisdom. Proverbs 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So as you're dealing with a foolish person, and you're trying to speak the truth in love, remember that a fool does not want to hear it. So you know you're in the presence of a fool, according to Proverbs, when you're with people that really don't want to hear what you have to say or what God has to say. They're going to despise your wisdom. I have advised some people recently in the recent social unrest and all the ridiculous, foolish things that are being put out there. And some people that I know I've talked to who are kind of responding, I said, buddy, you're wasting your time. Right now, they're not listening to you. They don't care what you have to say. Anything you say, they're just either ignoring it or turning against you. You're in the presence of a fool, and they don't want to hear your wisdom. You need to keep that in mind. You need to think about that. They will not listen to it. 18:2 says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. So sadly, you'll know a fool because they've already got all the answers. You ever have somebody come to you, you know, seemingly in sincerity and say, I need your wisdom, I need your insight, and then they talk for the next hour? And then you want to say, I thought you wanted to hear what I had to say. I've told this example before. One of the people that taught me biblical counseling early on, when I was being trained on it, a pastor over in Indiana who's now gone to be with the Lord, he had a pastor going through this kind of thing, and he said, I need to talk to you. I'm just having an awful time. I need some wisdom. And the pastor said, well, I'm flying out of such and such airport. We can go there. I have about an hour at the airport that I can talk to you. It's back before all the restraints. And so he said, okay, I'll meet you at the airport. So they came to the airport. This pastor spoke for 55 minutes of the 60 minutes that the counseling pastor said he had. And then he finally turned to the pastor and said, what do you think? And this pastor apparently was ticked by then or something. And he turned to the guy and said, you don't care what I have to think. Say, you've been speaking for 55 minutes. If you wanted to know what I had to say, you would have spoke for 10 and let me speak for 50. And he didn't give him an answer. Now, I don't know if that was wise of that pastor. I don't know if he was just mad. I don't know if he was just teaching a guy a lesson. I think I mentioned this illustration before, and I tried it once, and the people hate me for doing that. None of you. You all love me. But I learned the hard way by making somebody hate me. I thought I'd try his method. Didn't work for me. But honestly, it didn't matter what I had to say. He didn't care anyway. They weren't listening. I had a guy call me today, a pastor. He wanted to know such and such and never let me answer. I guess he didn't want to know. So if you want to ask somebody a question, give them time to answer, all right? Maybe that's the best thing. But I don't think that pastor friend of mine is a fool, but he wasn't listening. If you're trying to help somebody and they're not listening, they've already got all the answers, don't waste a whole lot of time on the 3 points in a poem. They're not listening. The fool most likely will get angry at you anyway when you're trying to help them. 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. So when you're trying to help somebody and they're getting mad at you, you know you're in the presence of a fool. You see, what we're trying to look at here in Proverbs, it's not always wise to give your wisdom. There's times you have to. There's times that you have to do it, and you do it in love. But you have to keep in mind that many times they're not listening to you. They don't care what you have to say, and you'll be wise to know that. They may even turn on you if you keep trying to help them. 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. They may even get mad at you. And no matter what you do or say, they are not going to change. 27:22, though you pound a fool with a mortar, is another earthy illustration, in a mortar with a pestle, so you're pounding in the head here, along with crushed grain, and yet his foolishness will not depart from him. So no matter what you do, they're not paying much attention. So when you're dealing with a fool, you might want to give them as much truth as you can, but you might want to also realize they don't care. They don't want answers. They're not looking for insight. You might want to pray for a better day or another day. Or you might even say to them, look, when you're willing to listen, when you want insight, when you want me to give you wisdom from Scripture, I'm available. Please come see me. Ready anytime. But today you're not ready. And when you're ready, let me know. Well, the second way that we deal with the fool is maturely, with maturity. 26:4 says this, do not answer a fool according to his folly are you also become like him? Then it says in verse 5, answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he be not wise in his own eyes. So what this means, I think, if you put the two together, is this. Don't get down on their level. Don't talk like them. Don't be like them. But you need to answer them with some form of maturity, some form of wisdom, so that they know there is a different answer here. You don't go on and on because they're not listening, but you're going to put out there maybe a hook to say there are better answers. And when you and here's one of them. And so you answer with maturity these people. 15:1, remember, says a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So getting angry with them, answering the fool according to their folly, not going to go anywhere, folks. Once again, go to the social media, listen to these people battle back and forth. Who's listening to whom? Nobody's listening to anybody. You're wasting your time. When I've heard some of these people that I don't agree with in an interview or media or whatever, and they're saying things that I don't agree with, and they do it with a shout, with anger, with disdain, it just drives me away. Doesn't it drive you away? I don't want anything to do with such a person. Even if they're right, I don't care. But if I can hear somebody who has a different view, who can speak sensibly, logically, graciously, I'll at least give them a listen. And maybe be able to say, you know what, you've got a point. I can't buy it all, but I can talk to you. That's what Proverbs 15:1 says a long time ago, thousands of years ago. If you get angry at a fool, it goes nowhere. If you give them wisdom and graciousness and truth and kindness, it might go somewhere. It just might. One more thing, stay away from a fool. When it's all said and done, if you can, stay away from them. You can't always do that. If you've got fools at work that you work with, you got to go to work. You got some in your family, what are you going to do? You got some at church, you social distance. You know, you figure it out, right? But this really comes in handy for people that are trying to fix other people, and also for those that get in too chummy with foolish people. Listen to the Proverbs 14:7. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. You can start buying in to foolish talk. Again, on the social justice issue going on right now, you can see very quickly out there people that are shouting slogans and ideas that make no sense. They're not helping anybody. They just make no sense. But how many people are buying into those things because they're hanging around with these people? So Proverbs knew that all along. You want to hang around with foolish people? Guess what happens? You become foolish yourself. Very practical, very wise. 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Seek out wise people. Seek out wise counsel, even if you don't like it. You know, you might go to somebody. Have you ever heard somebody say this? I've had people say this to me before. I didn't come to you after they messed up their life real good. I didn't come to you because I knew what you would say. And what would I have said? You would have said, don't do that. Okay, what did you do? I did it. What happened? And now you're going to come to me and you're going to say, huh, I guess I should have come to you. You ever anybody do that to you? That's one of the joys of pastoring. Okay, you get people like that. Well, if you want to be smart, if you want to be wise, find the wisest people you can find to hang out with. If you want to be foolish, hang with fools. You're going to become like the people you hang with. That's a biblical principle. It's one of the principles parents are always trying to pound into the heads of their kids, right? You know, don't hang with those kids. They're leading you astray. Hang with these kids. And that's one of the things that parents try to do, get their kids to hang out with better people. Well, that's because the Proverbs teaches it. If a fool repeatedly refuses to deal with their foolishness, your correction of them will do nothing but bring you grief. Proverbs 9, 7, and 8. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. So if you're going to try to correct a fool, keep in mind they're probably going to insult you for your work. Keep that in mind. Okay, we're going to move on. One more subject, moving from foolishness. So we've looked at the characteristics of foolishness in our life and in others. And you've looked at that and you identify some of these for yourself. So don't just look around and think of other people. Yeah.
So is there a distinction to be made in the Proverbs between our interactions with Christians who are acting foolish as opposed to non-Christians who are acting foolish?
Okay, good question. Is there a difference between interacting with Christians who are foolish versus non-Christians who are foolish? And I think there is some, at least. Not so much probably in Proverbs as if we look at the New Testament, when we know that the New Testament says their foolish hearts are darkened. And so they don't understand the things of God like we understand the things of God. They don't even understand human nature like we understand human nature. And again, that's one of the problems we're facing right now in our country, is because people have forgotten that by human nature we're sinful. And the idea seems to be if we can just fix the social issues, then all will be idyllic. And the Christian knows better. The Christian knows we deal with these things because of our nature, because of our natural self. And so, but Christians have the mind of Christ, which means that we can think like Christ. We have that capacity as we infuse our minds, fill our minds with the things of God. So that gives us a real leg up with Christians. So we can talk to them with the idea that they have the capacity to understand life differently than the unsaved. And if they're willing to listen to Scripture, we can appeal to Scripture. So here is on the authority of Scripture, here's what God says on the authority of Scripture. Where the unsaved doesn't care about that, and we don't have that authority with them. And I forgot, I'm glad you did that, Dan. I forgot you people are alive out there. Most of you haven't moved all night. And so I forgot that you're still out there. We're opening. Yeah, if you have questions or thoughts, kind of like what Dan did, we're live here. So make sure it's quick and to the point. I'll repeat it. But if you have questions or thoughts, raise your hand and do that. Andrew?
Can you speak to the danger of Jesus talks about calling someone a fool just because we're upset with them?
Yeah. Yeah, in Matthew, I think it's 5, he says, "Don't call people fools." This is just causing anger. And also it can show our own attitude towards somebody when we consider them that way. So I think we need to first of all look at our own selves. We're not, as we go through these characteristics, we're not looking for people to pigeonhole. But when we recognize they're living wrongly, we know that we can deal with them in a different way. And calling people names never works well, right? We know that. And so we're not looking to call people out. We're looking to see how can we handle people in a way that could be productive and useful and biblical. That's a real good thought, because that's not our goal here, to find people that are acting foolishly and call them that or think of them in harsh ways. Good comment. Yeah.
You're talking about how you identify a fool. Another way is Proverbs 1:7. He despises not only wisdom, but he despises instruction.
Yes.
So he's not looking for instruction. You might try to give him good instruction, but he despises it.
Okay, good point. Wisdom and instruction overlap in the book of Proverbs, but there is distinction. So where wisdom would be the right use of instruction or teaching is probably our best thing there. So they don't even want to be taught the word here. So you see that, you know, if you see people that even claim to be Christians who really don't care what the Bible says, you know there's something wrong here, because all of us should be wanting to know what God says. Good point. Okay, let's move. We're moving from foolishness here. Let's take 3 steps that could be marked out in Proverbs to move for there. Now, first of all, recognize your foolishness. So I'm not going to give you a verse of scripture on that because I think I've given you almost all night verses of scriptures on that. If you identify with these marks of foolishness, then you should recognize it. So don't pretend you're not acting foolishly or behaving foolishly when many of these marks, these characteristics, describe you and me. So wherever I see it in my own life, let me not run from it. Let me recognize it. So I need to recognize my foolishness and take ownership of it. Then we move to the next step, repent of your actions. Almost always, biblical change starts when we recognize something and repent of it. Desire to turn from it. Okay, I see this in my life. I see this train, this thread running through my life that is wrong. It's foolish. And now I need to recognize it as sinful and foolish and repent of that and turn from that. We see it in 9:6. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Forsake it. Don't play with it. Don't continue down that road. Forsake it. And proceed in a way of understanding. So the person who recognizes themselves as behaving foolishly says, now I must find a way to move from that. This is destroying me. It's destroying relationships. It's wrong. I need to move from it. Now what do you do next? Well, you learn the way of wisdom. That would be the answer in Proverbs. Learn the way of wisdom. Look at 9:9-11. Give instruction to a wise man and he'll be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be added to you. So Proverbs is talking in this format of the difference between foolishness and wisdom. So when we recognize that we're living foolishly, we then turn from that, and then we learn wisdom. Now, we've already discussed the ways of wisdom in Proverbs. And if you go on our network, SVC Family Network, under the theology section, I'm putting up the manuscripts for each of these lessons on Proverbs the next day or so after we teach them. So you can go back and look at these and look at the verses yourself, but we've already dealt early on with wisdom itself. And so as you recognize the characteristics of foolishness in your life, or maybe in somebody you're trying to help, who's willing to be helped, you can go back and look at what Scripture says is the way forward in wisdom. And those things are on the website, or on the network, and you can go run those down. And I think that'll be helpful to you. But the opposite of foolishness in Proverbs is wisdom. When we come to the New Testament, it's a little different. When we come to the New Testament, it doesn't talk about foolishness in quite the same way, but it talks about sinfulness and behaving sinfully and darkly. And the opposite of that is Christ-likeness, walking with Christ. And so when we put the two together, the Old Testament picture of Christ-likeness seems to be the way of wisdom. And the way of wisdom is personified in Christ. Look at Christ. Here's how Christ lived. This is how we are to live. It's the way of wisdom. So you put those two together, and very, very helpful. Now, the Old Testament didn't have the New Testament. Progressive revelation, more revelation. We have insights and instructions and teachings they didn't have. So we're way ahead of them. But the Proverbs guided them practically in the way of wisdom, and the opposite of that was foolishness. By the way, one more thought. If anybody has a question, we can take it. But one more thought. Keep in mind the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs have two steps to them. They say something that is positive, followed up by something that is negative. Don't react in anger. Speak gently. Positive, negative. It may start with the positive, end with the negative, start with the negative, end with the positive, but putting the two together gives us a fuller understanding of what God is saying. So that's our subject tonight, the way of foolishness that we wanted to be rid of. We do not want to live foolishly. We want to live wisely. Any thoughts, questions before we close in prayer? Okay, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you now for your word. Thank you for the way of wisdom and for the warnings about foolishness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.